time to get you updated on all things Jefferson College athletics from your favorite athletes, coaches, and staff.
Ultimate goal is, hey, we want to be playing our best baseball at the end of the season, and that's what it is, and it's part of the process. But those are just some team goals that we have each year. Heck yeah, we want to go be playing at Grand Junction.
Everyone was really kind of all in now and understand what we need to do, and that's been a great momentum lift for us as we've moved this past week.
We have a lot of international players on the team, and once we come together as a team, it's just a fun experience. It's just amazing.
A win's a win in the books, so it doesn't really matter. We just go up from here for sure. See them again in regional and make sure we play much better.
We feel if we get 50 wins, then we're in a position to be playing to go to the national tournament.
I always tell her that the baseball team's the big dogs on campus, but she likes to think the softball team's the big dog on campus, so we get into that a little bit.
My roommates and I, well, specifically Taylor, we like Justin Bieber. We really like him, but D calls that our white girl music because we listen to that in the car and stuff, and if she has to ride with us, she's turn that off.
I can say I love Taco Bell. It changed my life. Yeah, it got better.
Yeah.
Now to your host of the Viking Voices show, Will Cheshire.
That time of week again, we welcome in here from Jefferson College for the weekly edition of the Viking Voices show here. And of course, we're in the springtime now, and it's baseball and softball themed along the way. We'll start things with baseball this week. A couple of players in with us here, sophomore Logan Anderson to kick things off. Logan, how are we feeling today?
Feeling pretty good. Thank you for having me.
No problem. You guys, a big victory yesterday against the Quincy Junior Varsity team, scoring 10 runs again. I believe that was the 10th time in the last 17 games you guys have scored 10 or more runs. And you, obviously, a big part of that, an outfielder on the team. Just what has been clicking so well for this offense that the bats just seem to know no mercy?
You know, I think we're starting to get more comfortable in there, starting to see the ball, and we're just squaring the ball up and just hitting it hard all over the place. So,
a matter of just kind of getting more comfortable up there, you feel like, at the plate?
Yeah, oh, for sure. That's a big part of it.
For you, you know, sometimes guys will get off and, you know, they'll swing hot and feel real comfortable as soon as the game starts. Others, you know, may take a few weeks to get in or a few at-bats to kind of get comfortable. How would you put yourself in there? You got that. You need to get comfortable, or can you get in there and feel pretty hot pretty quick?
You know, some days I feel good on that first AB, but I definitely get more comfortable as the day goes on, I feel like.
And what type of hitter would you say you are, Logan? Gap power, slap hitter?
I will drive the ball gap to gap.
And then for you, give the listeners an idea of what side of the plate you hit on.
I'm a right-handed hitter.
And then playing the outfield as well, correct?
Yes, sir.
Defensively, what types of things do you kind of work on to improve that defense? Is it a lot of kind of footwork or just a lot of tracking drills?
More footwork. We do this thing called 9-star, and it's just, you know, your first step, basically, and I think that's a big part of it for us.
What's the hardest ball to field out in the outfield?
Probably the line drive that's just hit. Like, you can't really tell how high it's going to be, but definitely right at you, just a hard hit ball right at you.
Yeah. Do you have an embarrassing moment for you throughout any time in your career on one of those balls?
Not necessarily on one of those balls, but one of my first time playing last year in the outfield, there was a ball hit right between, I play left field, so right between me and the center fielder, and I was honestly right underneath it, and he called me off. And so I kind of stopped, and then at the last second, I just dove for it, which I didn't have to, but it was pretty embarrassing. The guys gave me a tough time after that one.
So I assume you whiffed pretty bad then?
No, I actually caught it.
I just
looked like an idiot out there. So
hey, at the end of the day, though, you got the out, and that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Awesome. For you, obviously a sophomore this year, so as a freshman last year and then working into your sophomore season, what types of things did you want to make personally? Adjustments at the plate?
Be more consistent with my swing. I used to have a high leg kick, and I actually brought in a high leg kick coming into the season, and I was just, you know, getting long with my swing and kind of struggling, and it took me a while, but I had to make adjustments and just started trying to be more simple and more consistent with my swing.
And then what type of hitter are you up there? I mean, I asked you earlier what you do when you make the contact, if you're slap or power, but what types of things do you look for up there? Are you kind of a patient guy, or do you like to be aggressive?
I'm definitely aggressive. I like swinging at a first pitch fastball, but, you know, say, like, my first two ABs, I swing at the first pitch, I'll, you know, just try to be more patient up there. Unless if I go 2 for 2 off those first two by swinging at the first pitch, I'll just keep it and just keep being aggressive. But for majority of the part, I'm pretty aggressive up there.
Awesome. And then, Logan, just tell us a little bit about your background. Where are you from?
I'm from Ofala, Missouri. Yeah, I've got two loving parents, three older brothers, one younger sister. So we're all pretty close, and yeah.
Three older brothers, huh? Did they kind of push you then as being the youngest brother?
Yeah, growing up, pretty tough. Always got beat up a little bit. Oldest brother always tried to, like, back me up, but the two in between, they kind of...
What's the age gap?
The oldest is 7, then 5, and then 3.
7, 5, and then 3. Okay, then what about little sis?
She is 7 years younger than me.
Okay, so, she, I'm sure you guys are pretty protective then of her, huh?
Yeah, but she kind of runs the family.
She runs it?
Oh, yeah, she bullies us around.
What is she, like 12, maybe?
Yeah, 13.
13?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's probably because she had four brothers.
Yep, exactly.
So that's very cool. Yeah. Very independent there. As a kid, you know, when did you kind of start playing baseball?
Right off the bat. My three older brothers always played, and I've always told them, like, since I was like 4 or 5, I always told my parents, like, hey, let me start playing baseball. And they would never let me because I was pretty young back then. But always played baseball in the backyard with my brothers and some of the neighborhood kids. And then I believe I started playing baseball around the age 6 or 7, getting like in an actual league or something. So,
as a kid, did you have any particular players you looked up to or any teams that you obviously imagine a big Cardinals fan that you may have followed?
Big Cardinals fan. And then growing up, yeah, my favorite player was always David Eckstein, just because he was a smaller guy and he always played hard, and I loved that about him.
I think he won the MVP in 2006 in the World Series, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Big part of it. Big part of that team in that year.
Yeah, a gritty, gritty player.
Oh, I love it.
Did you, as a kid, did you kind of model yourself off that a little bit in terms of the grit and the intensity?
Yeah, I always just try to go out there and just play as hard as I could.
And then, Logan, for you, obviously, you've been swinging the bat real well, particularly as of late for you, a few home runs recently as well, and driving the ball. So when it comes to being a power hitter, how much of it is focusing on the weight room and getting strong versus just having the mechanics down and the rotation in the hips and things?
I think they both play a role, but I think definitely mechanics definitely helps out a lot. I'm big on, like, trying to get my body work the proper way when swinging a bat. And, I mean, I think that takes – I think it's half and half. You definitely got to get in the weight room. Definitely got to get stronger, making your muscles stronger. But definitely got to have the body work in the correct way, too.
Yeah, and Logan, did you guys have the day off today, or did you get some swings in practice? I know you guys backing at it tomorrow.
Yeah, it was a light day. Got some – rain outside, so we had to come inside, but we actually got to swing the bat a little bit, and we had a team lift. So
okay, very cool. Then tomorrow you guys obviously back at it, region 16 game as well, ever so important there. So does your guys' mindset change at all when you play a region team, or is it kind of the same focus no matter who you're playing?
I think as of now, we kind of just, every team's the same to us, and every time we go out there, we're trying to get a W, and we just play hard and just keep trying to keep on winning.
Is the focus, is, I imagine it's much more on yourselves than it would be against your whoever you're playing, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And then, Logan, for you, obviously a lot of influx of freshmen this year on the team, and as one of the sophomores, you know, a leader, but a guy that wasn't here last year. You know, you transferred over from Southern Illinois as well, and so initially when you work in with all those freshmen, what are some of those challenges?
It was kind of nice. I knew a couple of the freshmen coming in here, but we got a bunch of good young kids on this team, and just trying to work into it. All I try to do and help them is just, like, let them know that they're good and just try to get their confidence up. And as of now, like, since we're swinging it, some of the freshmen are getting chances, and they're all doing extremely well. So,
you live here on campus?
I do.
Who do you live with?
I got Zach Seiler, Anthony Green, and Hunter Swift.
Zach Seiler, Anthony Green, and Hunter Swift. So right on. What are some of the go-to things that you guys do in the apartment when you're hanging out?
Well, me and Anthony, we're gamers. last semester we were playing Madden, and we would always he always thought he was better than me, but I always took it to him. He would come back sometimes, but not all the time. This year we're playing the show, the show 17 came out. Swifty, me and him, we're movie guys. He's got this thing called Fire Stick, and it's pretty cool. Get to watch the movies, and then, yeah, me and Zach, we just kind of hang out, and we'll just hang out and talk to each other. Doesn't matter if we're watching TV or what.
So who gets the better end at the show? I mean, I know that's recently released. I think last week it came out, but Green was telling me that he's real big on the show. He's real good at it. Is he as good as he says he is?
Probably not as good as he says he is, but he's a lot better than I am. Ever since I came to school, that's when I started playing the show, so I never...
Okay, so he's got a few years on you.
Yeah, he definitely does.
Awesome, right on. And then, Logan, just what's the key going forward here before we let you go here for you guys to keep swinging the bats hot, staying hot, and keep rattling off all these victories?
Just be confident. Just get after it. That's it. Just know that they're going to swing the bat and put the bat on the ball and hit it somewhere hard.
Awesome. Hey, Logan, thanks very much for taking some time out of your day, having a conversation with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Sophomore Logan Anderson, left fielder for the Vikings, joining us here on the Viking Voices Show here on 1400 KJFF. Going to keep the theme to baseball, except we'll go from the hitting side to the pitching side. The big fella, Jacob Voss, going to be joining us next here on the Viking Voices Show here on 1400 KJFF after the timeout. Welcome back in here to the Viking Voices Show here on 1400 KJFF. Just heard from sophomore Logan Anderson, and now we got freshman Jacob Voss is joining us. And Mr. Voss, a pitcher on this year's Vikings team. Once again, thanks for taking some time out of the afternoon. We appreciate it.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thank you.
And then, Jacob, for you, obviously one of the key pitchers on the ball club, a guy that comes out of the bullpen as well. So, when you're in the bullpen versus kind of starting for the most part, you know, what's the difference in mentality?
A lot of it kind of depends on, like, when I'm in the bullpen, it's kind of like I'm usually coming in to set something down or kind of be the hose, I guess, to put the fire out. I mean, as of late, our starters have been doing so good lately, though. I haven't really been able to come in many close games since our offense has been really picking it up and our pitching's been doing very well.
Yeah, see, that's the thing that kind of gets a little overlooked when the offense does so well, right? Because the offense explodes for runs all the time, and, you know, it's people like to see. But then the pitching, you guys have been limiting opponents as well. They haven't been putting runs. The one game that you guys did lose was 2-1 to Lincoln Land. So another good pitching performance there. And, Jacob, for you, a guy that I've seen pitch a couple times now, and you got a pretty good fastball, huh?
Yeah, I rely on it a lot since my off-speed isn't where it needs to be right now, but...
Do you work with a fastball and a curveball then, or do you have a slider?
Oh, I have a curveball.
Okay. Do you work in a changeup from time to time?
I have one. It doesn't move very much, but it's a work in progress.
Work in progress. What's the biggest pitch you're trying to work on in terms of fine-tune?
Curveball.
So when you're talking about not having the location that you wanted to with the curveball and that you rely so much on the fastball, then how important is it to place that fastball correctly?
I get very lucky. I guess my fastball moves a little bit, so they don't hit it as hard. But I notice sometimes it's like the better hitters, if I do locate it like wrong, I mean, they definitely hit it and they can definitely swing it pretty well. But I've been very fortunate lately to not have run into much trouble about that.
I guess it helps when you can pump it in there at 92, huh?
Something like that.
Yeah. And then, Jacob, for you as well, take us a little bit about your history. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Lynn, Missouri, town of 1,200 people. I have a younger brother who's actually playing baseball at Lynn High School right now. And then I have a younger sister who's going to go to Avila for school.
Okay, very cool. So you're the oldest.
Yeah.
The big, the leader, the responsible one, right?
Yeah, something like that.
And then, Jacob, for you, tell us how your love for baseball kind of came about.
I've always, like, my whole family actually has been, like, really big Cardinals fans. And I've always watched the games. And I've always wanted to, like, be like those guys. So then I started playing at a young age, and I've always looked up to those guys and thought they were like idols and superheroes and stuff like that. So I just always wanted to be like those guys, so started to play baseball.
Was it always pitching, or as a kid, was it more hitting at one point?
I used to like hit and stuff like that, but then once I grew to 6'9", kind of realized I had to put the bat up and start pitching.
Yeah, when did you hit that size?
Junior year in high school.
Junior year. Now, were you the classic case where, no way, you were probably always pretty tall, huh? I
was like 6 foot probably sophomore year, and then I grew to like 6'9" junior year.
There are a lot of people who wish they could be 6 foot in general, so yeah. I think you're good. That's a big jump. So then I imagine that with that growth spurt, your velocity probably jumped quite a bit then too.
Yeah, you'd think, but like I was pretty uncoordinated, so it's kind of hard to translate it all into the mound. But I started pitching my junior year, so it was like kind of a new element, I guess, for me.
How long did it kind of take you to get comfortable and, you know, into the new change, growing 9 inches? That's pretty difficult. So when did you get comfortable with your new size and, you know, kind of ability to throw that fastball?
Probably freshman year in college, the second semester probably. Really helped me a lot going into the first semester and lifting a lot and doing that stuff, and then just it kind of transferred, it kind of clicked, I guess, per se, to the mound.
And then for you, did you always kind of know you had that potential in you?
People always told me that, but I never really realized it until, I guess, last semester when I hit 91 for the first time. It's kind of clicked, and I was like, okay, I actually do have some potential, stuff like that.
So you didn't throw into the 90s until last semester then, huh?
No.
What did you throw prior to that? How big a jump was it?
In high school, it was like 83. And then in the fall, I was like 83. And then that next semester, I sat like 85, 87, hit 91 once. But it's kind of happened, I guess. I don't even know.
Yeah, well, that's what the strength training and the kind of getting grown into your body kind of does then, huh?
Yeah.
And then here at school, do you know what you're going to study?
I'm going to get my two-year degree in Associate of Arts, I think, and then transfer to be a business accounting major, I believe.
Business accounting. Is the plan then to continue to play baseball then at the next level as long as you can?
Of course.
Awesome. And then what have you seen this year from the pitching staff that's led to the success?
I mean, our starters are obviously very good. I think every starter right now can go D1 somewhere and perform very well. They throw a lot of strikes, and it makes it easier on the bullpen, obviously, as we have a ton of guys in the bullpen that can do it. But we don't necessarily need all those guys right now. And, I mean, it's just kind of nice having starters to go deep into games and keep us into it.
Yeah, when the starters are throwing so well and there isn't as much action for some of the guys in the pen, then does a lot of that kind of translate to you guys throwing a little more bullpens then to stay sharp?
Yeah, it definitely helps with having days off and stuff like that for guys' arms to heal, and they can just go work on stuff, you know, flat grounds and bullpens and stuff like that.
So I imagine yesterday then was pretty nice to, you know, I think you guys threw, what, 5 pitchers yesterday?
Yeah, just run them out there and get them some time on the mound and get them comfortable with it.
So in large part due to the starting pitching, also what helps relieve a little bit of stress out there on the mound is when the offense is putting up so many runs too. So what's it like to come in there and you kind of know you have a 10-run lead or whatever it is, and all you got to do is pump in strikes?
It's kind of nice. You have the ability to work on stuff, and you're not constantly stressed, worrying about blowing a lead or anything like that, especially when your offense puts up 55 runs in a 4-game series. That's pretty nice too.
Yeah. For you personally, would you rather come into a game with, you know, a kind of a crucial situation, a 1-run game, or would you rather come in with a 9-run lead?
I mean, I'd rather come in with a 9-run lead because my team's doing obviously really good and our offense is really picking it up then. But ideally, I mean, a close game is where you kind of tell what you're made of, I guess, kind of. But
what types of things did you work on, you know, in addition to the strength training mechanically on the mound?
I worked on a lot of stuff as far as, like, not leaping off the mound, and then worked on like getting my arm action to where it needed to be and stabilizing my front foot and stuff like that. A lot of mechanically.
Okay.
Stuff,
tell us a little bit kind of what that leaping off the action kind of means, because some people might think you might literally be taking a big giant leap.
That's literally about what it was. Like the Walden pitcher for the Cardinals. It kind of started to do that last year, and it kind of started to throw me off as far as like throwing strikes. And then I went up to the Bud Dome up in St. Louis, and they helped me a lot with like just stabilizing that and make it where I can repeat my mechanics and throw strikes.
Okay, very cool. And then for you as well, part of the bullpen, you guys, I imagine, in the pen, seem to have a pretty good time with the Twitter and the Jeffco bullpen and the things of that nature. You guys got your own banter kind of going on down there?
Of course, yeah.
You guys got a lot of fun, and all the guys get along well?
Yep, everyone gets along. Everyone knows what their place is on the team and just have a lot of fun doing it.
So we know where Logan lives and who he lives with. How about yourself?
I live with Andrew Colin, Sam Stewart, and Riley Halley.
All right. Who is the most... I guess the loudest, you know, the most ridiculous.
Definitely Riley.
Riley?
Riley, yeah.
Okay, all right. Does anybody cook?
Riley probably does most of the cooking, too.
Okay. Yeah. What about yourself? Do you like to cook the food, or are you going to go to, you know, McDonald's or Taco Bell?
Probably go to McDonald's or Taco Bell.
Yeah, go spend some time at Ronald's Steakhouse over there, huh?
Yeah.
What about you guys? What do you guys do as entertainment-wise in your room?
Play a lot of video games.
Video games. What's popular in there?
I play Xbox, but I go over to Mantle's room and Logan's room and play a lot of the show and stuff like that.
Okay, what you got on Xbox?
Like NBA, 2K17, stuff like that.
Okay.
Madden.
Are you a big franchise guy, or, you know, the single Road to the Show type player guys?
I like the Road to the Show, and I like both of them, honestly.
Okay, very cool. Obviously, you guys getting set, Region 16. What's the pitching staff going to have to do to keep having the success it's having on the mound right now? Is it a matter of just kind of staying confident up there, or, you know, what types of things are you looking for from the staff?
I mean, I'd say just stay confident. I mean, we've been doing a pretty good job all year of staying confident, and everyone knows we're some of the best. We have some of the best pitchers in the Region 16, obviously. And if our starters keep throwing the way they are, I don't think a team, I mean, they're going to keep us in a lot of games, and I think we should be fine the way our offense is swinging it also.
Mr. Voss, thanks very much for taking some time out of your day. Much appreciated. Best of luck tomorrow afternoon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
That's pitcher Jacob Voss joining us, part of the alleged Twin Towers that they have down there in the bullpen. Voss and Cole Milam as well here on the Viking Voices show. We'll step aside for another timeout here on 1400 KJFF. When we come back, we'll go over to softball. We got sophomore Autumn McCoy joining us, as well as head coach Tony Cook. That's coming your way next. Welcome back in here to 1400 KJFF for the Viking Voices show. Just got done touching on baseball action, and now it's time for the softball team. And we're joined by sophomore Autumn McCoy. Thanks very much for coming on the show, Autumn. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right. You guys coming off a game yesterday and then scheduled to have two games today, but it got rained out a little bit as well. So what did you guys do today instead? Did you get a practice in, or just a light workout?
Well, we had an optional hitting practice today, and so a lot of the girls ran or worked out, and there's about half the team that's down there right now hitting.
Okay, so that's still in action, so you're taking a break then for us.
Yeah.
Okay, we feel special here at the radio station. Thank you. Autumn, for you, what have you kind of been working on primarily from the start of this year throughout the season?
Well, last year ended not how I wanted to. I wanted to be able to be a starter this year. So over the summer, I worked on running to get my fitness back and everything. And then I came back right away, ready to hit, ready to field, do whatever I could do to start.
Awesome. Very cool. And then also as part of that, you know, you've been getting a very good amount of action as well. And you guys had a game yesterday against Mac and split, but also you guys were without a lot of key players too in it as well. And some players that I was told do a really nice job bringing up the morale and things of that nature, all the energy in the dugout too. So how much in softball versus a sport like, you know, baseball, does all that energy and all that chatter, and how much does that mean to you guys on the field when you're playing?
Oh, it's everything. Like, if you come out with energy, then you're going to play wonderful. Like, and if you come out dead, then it's going to be a dead game.
Who's the loudest in there?
Definitely Abby Myers.
Yeah, I should have known that one. I've asked enough of you guys by now who the loudest is. The consensus is Abby Myers. And she's also the best singer too, right?
If you want to say that.
You want to say that. Okay. All right. Who do you think is?
In real life, Taylor Nordwald can sing very well.
Taylor Nordwald? I don't think I've heard anything about Taylor Nordwald
yet. She's a very good singer, but she doesn't like to. She's very shy.
Oh, okay. So you've been one of the special people that got to hear her sing?
Thanks to being roommates, yeah.
Oh, okay. So who else do you live with?
Maddie Hart and Libby Marco.
Maddie Hart and Libby Marco. Okay. Should have remembered that from last week. But what do you guys do out there for fun?
Hang out.
You guys have a specific show or anything you guys watch?
No. We try to have a family dinner once a week.
Okay.
So, like, keep it together and stuff, because we're always in our rooms doing homework or something. So the once-a-week dinner is nice to have.
Who does the cooking?
Not me. It's usually, like, Taylor Nordwald.
Okay.
So,
not you. You're not a cook?
No.
No. What's the specialty dish that you guys have? Is it the same meal every week, or do you guys mix it up?
It's usually some kind of pasta.
Italian?
Yeah.
Okay. For you, you guys obviously here for school as well, and a lot of that has homework and balancing time between softball and the educational side of things. So how hard is it, obviously, for you as a sophomore? You have a year under your belt, but how difficult is it to kind of manage that time and just, you know, allocate how much you need to spend in the cage versus how much you need to spend in the library?
Well, I go to class, and then I come back and I start homework right away because I'm in some pretty difficult classes this semester. And then once practice comes, it's practice time. I don't think about school or anything else. So So then I practice, and then I come back, and I still have homework, then I did my homework. So it's, I do pretty well with managing my time.
Okay, so it's kind of a matter of just separating the two then, like almost two different lifestyles type thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Very cool. And then what are you studying?
I'm going into nursing. So right now I'm just getting my Associates of Arts, and then I want to end up being a nurse practitioner.
Very cool. Do you have any idea of where that's going to be next year yet?
Either Mizzou or Lincoln University.
Mizzou or Lincoln. Very cool. Very cool. Do you have a preference?
Leaning more towards Lincoln just because it's a smaller setting and it's not that far of a drive from my house. So.
Okay. And where are you from?
Columbia, Missouri.
Oh, Columbia. So Mizzou wouldn't be that far either,
yeah.
too. So very cool. Both pretty nearby. How important is it to you then to get back, be around some family and friends?
I love my family. Like, I'm a big family person. So getting to be able to go back to all that, it's exciting.
And do they get an opportunity to come out and watch you play at all?
Mm-hmm. My parents try to come at least once a week.
Wow, that's pretty good commitment. That's a couple-hour drive, huh?
Yeah.
I imagine the weekends they try to make it?
Yeah, almost. If we play Saturday and Sunday, they'll be here.
Okay. And then for you, how do you feel the team has been doing as of late, you know, with all the injuries and then the sickness and things of that nature as a whole?
At first, I think it kind of, like, shocked everybody. It kind of scared people. But I think we've done a really good job with coming together as a team and, like, stepping up for when or for the spots that they needed to be stepped up in.
How much does that kind of test you guys mentally when that stuff kind of happens?
Well, with Shelby Clark being out was a really big shock because, I mean, last year that's who we leaned on probably the most. And so then this year, I mean, it's nice having other pitchers that we can count on, but she was just a big vocal person as well, and she's a huge hitter. So, but everyone else will just step up and do their job.
Has she kind of been still leading the team and whatnot, even while she's been out with her injury?
Yeah, she's been in the dugout, cheering us on, everything.
Awesome. And then have you avoided this little the sickness thing that kind of got going on yesterday? I saw it because I was looking around, and I was like, man, I feel like there's some people missing. And then the girls were some sick. So you've been able to avoid that?
Yeah, somehow our room has not been hit yet. So hopefully.
Hit yet. So I'll keep washing the hands, get that emergency, knock it down. I don't think Coach Cook would be too pleased.
No, we've been Lysoling everything, so.
There you go. You're planned ahead and very much ready. So, guys, obviously, we'll go on the road this weekend. I believe it's to Maplewoods to start out on Friday, or is it? It's Friday.
Friday.
Yeah, so when you go on a long drive like that, and then you get another game on Saturday as well, what types of things changes mentally for you versus maybe playing at home, knowing that you have a long trip?
You just got to realize that that's their field, so they understand, like, where the ball will have the, like, bumps and everything, and you just got to adapt to it. It's not too hard to change.
On a long bus ride like that, how often is it spent loud and energetic versus quiet and sleepy and homework?
Well, during the day it's very loud because Paige Kurtz likes to express her opinion all the time. So, and then at night people usually know to quiet down and it's time to take a nap or something.
Okay, is there anybody who's, you mentioned Paige, very vocal about her opinions, but is there anybody who kind of sets that standard? Is anyone that goes, okay, simmer down a little bit now, let's do nothing for a little bit? Or
Paige is pretty good at knowing when to be quiet, but Taylor Dames also steps in and helps with
okay,
that.
So she'll step in and be like, okay, everybody needs to quiet. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
For you, Autumn, going into these games, what's going to be the key to coming out with victories?
Just got to teamwork and keep each other up. That's the biggest thing, I think, is also communication and just believing in our teammates.
Awesome. Autumn, hey, thanks very much for coming on the show. It was nice catching up with you and getting to know you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's sophomore Autumn McCoy joining us here on the Viking Voices Show here on 1400 KJFF. We'll step aside for another timeout here from the head coach, Tony Cook, coming up next. Welcome back into the Viking Voices Show here on 1400 KJFF. Going to round out our last segment with some softball action. Joined now by head coach Tony Cook. Coach Cook, how are we doing today?
Well, better than yesterday.
Yeah, coach. Obviously, very hurt. We got the Senate out, Clark out, already down a few people. And then all of a sudden, we talked a little bit with Autumn about that, Autumn McCoy. And then the sickness hits, and then you lose. You know, Paige Kurtz isn't there, Kaylee Sheridan is not there, and all of a sudden that kind of happens. So as a coach, how do you adjust on the fly like that?
You know, it's one of those things where we literally yesterday, an hour before the game, we were scrambling trying to make a lineup. And pregame warm-up, we got kids coming over saying, Coach, I don't know if I can make it. You know, and they're throwing up on the side. And it's one of those things where, I mean, we just do the best we can. And, you know, thank goodness we got a larger line, a bigger squad this year.
Yeah, that's where that depth really did come into play as well. Coach, I got a chance to see that first game. And, of course, it was that the lefty Brooke Gardner gave you guys a little bit of issues back when they were up here, able to get the win and then pitch to that soft stuff again. But in the second game, I didn't get a chance to see it, but fortunately, the girls do a wonderful job on Twitter and literally give you play-by-play on everything. So I was able to stay up to date. And it sounds like even about falling behind, you guys come back and get that win in nine innings. What did that, you know, kind of speak to the character of the team, knowing that you already lost in game one, you were down again in game two, you could have easily kind of kicked it over, but you guys were able to rally back?
You know, we mentioned that in our, you know, post-game after that game one. I mean, we talked about, you know, now we need to step up. You know, now we're playing for pride and we're playing for, you know, the name on that uniform. And, you know, we gotta come out here and show the character that we are and the team that we can be. And, you know, we really relied on some people's shoulders out there, you know, as teammates and as leaders of the club to step up and get the rest of the team going here. And, you know, we fell behind that second game, 6-2 off that grand slam. And, you know, I was looking over there, kind of peeking over and see what the, you know, body languages of, you know, our players. And, you know, they weren't down. You know, it surprised me a little bit. And then we were, you know, me and Coach K were trying to motivate them up some more. And then, you know, we were trying to figure out this pitching that they were throwing at us. And once we got that and then they made the adjustments, we started doing, you know, we did a lot better job after that.
Coach, you guys scheduled to play a doubleheader today that was actually supposed to be rescheduled again from last time out, but East Central seems to be some bad luck because another rain delay today. You guys will be playing next Friday, but yeah, I almost kind of feel like that's a little bit of a blessing in disguise with all the sickness going on.
It is, you know, right now, you know, it's probably the best thing that could happen for us, you know, between the injuries and the illness going, you know, through our club. And, you know, we're going to make that game up next Friday at noon. And so, you know, we need some time off. You know, we got some players downstairs hitting now that, you know, need some extra help with some hitting. And we need some girls that were in this rest. You know, they need to take some ice baths and just, they need, you know, get away from the game for a little bit to recover for their bodies and, you know, get some supplements in them and some, you know, nutrition and things like that to try to break whatever this bug is that we got going around.
Going all the way to Maplewoods on Friday. Well, what do you know about them this year?
You know, they're scrappy. They, you know, they split with Crowder earlier this year. And so, you know, they can hit a little bit. They got a little bit of pitching, which, you know, that for us, that's a good thing. You know, I'd rather face a team that's got some decent pitching because that fits into our mod of what we do. And, you know, we can hit fast pitching. You know, we seem like we struggle against the slow stuff, and we're working on it every day to get better. But teams that's got good, you know, good velocity type pitchers, we match up well against. So, I feel good about going down to Maplewoods. You know, the biggest thing is, you know, we just got to get healthy to get down there. And once we get, you know, be there and stay fair on Saturday, hopefully we can come out of there on a positive note.
You talk about getting healthy. The sickness, any better today? Any progress with that?
I think so. As a matter of fact, I saw Paige Kurtz and then Kaylee Sheridan down there. Aaron Lofton is still feeling under the weather still, and Shelby, I don't think, is still 100%. And we got a couple, you know, Taylor Dames, I think she's feeling the weather of it now. So I think it's, you know, it's jumping from room to room and going around. So hopefully it's not going to knock some others down. We get some people back. So it's something we just got to figure out and, you know, do some sanitation in the, you know, dorms up there, and hopefully we can weather the storm here.
Yeah, in the circle this weekend as well, and really in the course of the last few games, you guys have had to, you know, pitch some at the back end of that depth there. What have you seen from girls like Sarah Berry and Nikki Peters and Kate O'Day and obviously Nordwall?
You know, Kate O'Day pitched a really good game yesterday for us. She threw the second game and came in and really pulled it out for us. And, you know, she only gave up the one run to Mac after, you know, we were down by six. So I thought she did a good job, you know, coming in and pitching that last seven innings. And, you know, Sarah Berry will get her opportunity this weekend. She did. I thought she pitched the four innings she did against Crowder were really good. She only gave up four hits, and she left the game with only, you know, down 2-0. So, you know, that's a positive note for us. You know, and Kate pitched a fantastic game against Crowder on Saturday also with you know, the 4-3 win. So if we can do that and we can get some, you know, rely on them for some more extra innings until we get the other ones back, then I think we're gonna be okay.
Yeah, and I feel like it'll almost be a benefit for you as well, because then when you get to those big games, region time, district time, those arms will have been experienced in big games already.
Yeah, you know, and they've they felt the pressure now, and now they know what the, you know, how it feels against the teams that, you know, for us to go to the national tournament, that's the teams you got to get by, and you know they've experienced that, they've been under the pressure by it, and so you know, I think the nerves and the jitters will be out of the way now, and so we can rely on them for some good quality innings now.
Coach, final thoughts on these weekend series on the road?
We got to win. That's it. You know, we want to stay in there for the number one seed in the conference and the number one for our region, and so we just got to win. That's all there is to it.
The bottom line.
That's it.
Hey, Coach Cook, thanks very much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Always will. Thanks.
Head Coach Tony Cook, the Jefferson College softball program, rounding things out here on the Viking Voices show here on 1400 KJFF. Of course, if you just joined us, as always, you can tune in online afterwards. It'll be up in a couple hours at mymoinfo.com on the Jefferson College athletics page. Madeline Gilbert, Hal Neisler, going to take care of you as we get across into the 5 o'clock hour. That's coming up next year on 1400 KJFF.